We're doing the Sefer Maasiyot, and we had seen yesterday that Rav Nissim Gaon had been discussing the concept of handicaps that are inborn. This came off of a discussion of God's being fair and just, and he said that there was once a king who had asked Rav Yeshua ben Hananya, how could we say God is just if people are born with handicaps, with blemishes? And Rav Yeshua ben Hananya said the answer is twofold. Those that are good, then they get more wages, for they've contended with more hardships in their life, and in spite of that, they were good people. And those that were rebellious, so then God, so to speak, limited their capacity to do harm by handicapping them. And if you want, I'll show you. I'll illustrate it to you. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya asked him for two people who he trusted, and he went with those two people. He asked them for 1,000 dinar. He went with those two people and gave the 1,000 dinar to a blind man to watch, telling the blind man that he was on his way to the gallows, and if he makes it back, the blind man should give it to him, and if not, it belongs to the blind man. And then after a while, he came back and said to the blind man, give me back my 1,000 dinars. And the man says, I don't know you. And Rabbi Yeshua says, what do you mean? I gave you 1,000 dinars to watch in case I make it back alive from the gallows, and now I've made it back alive, so I want to reward you for watching my money, but give me the money back. And the man says, I don't know you, I never saw you, I never met you, I have nothing to do with you, right? So Rabbi Yeshua takes him to the king, and the king says, what proof do you have, Rabbi Yeshua? And Rabbi Yeshua brings forward the two people who the king says he trusts, and they testify that they were there when Rabbi Yeshua gave the guy 1,000 dinars. So the king says the man should be executed. And they're taking him out to the gallows, and the person walks over to the blind man and tells him, he whispers in his ear and says, you know that Yeshua fellow? You know that guy? I heard him talking with your wife. I heard her joking with him and saying, wait till my blind man dies, and then I'll marry you, and we'll enjoy those 1,000 dinars together. You know, there was, I don't think he said it about Rabbi Yeshua. He said, there's a guy in your neighborhood who I heard walking over to your house, and that guy, not Rabbi Yeshua, someone else, your wife was joking with him and saying, just wait till my blind man dies, and then I'll marry you, and together we'll enjoy those 1,000 dinars, you and I. And when the blind man heard that, so he was already all strung up. They were ready to pull the chair out from under him. And someone leans over and tells him this line. And then he yells out and says, take me down, I'll bring the dinars. So they take him down and he brings it. And Rabbi Yeshua says to him, he says, look at what you did to me. And I had two righteous witnesses. What would you have done to me if I had no witnesses? But it must be that you're an evil person. I never did you any harm. I asked you for a simple favor, and you were prepared to do me harm. And obviously, God limited your capacity to do harm by limiting your physical capacities. And that was Rabbi Yeshua's illustration of the cruelty of this man, who when he thought that he could, even if he would die, he wasn't willing to give the money back. But when he heard that his wife was plotting to enjoy the money without him and ready to marry someone else, then so long as she doesn't get it, then he was willing to give it back. So here we have to think about what the Midrash is telling us. What's the story telling us? Very often we focus on the end of the story and we forget the beginning of the story. So the first thing we have to see in the story is that Rabbi Yeshua said there are righteous people who are born handicapped. And those people were given a challenge so that they'll have more wages in the world to come. Which touches on another subject, which really we had a whole class or two on, the idea of Yisurin Shel Ahava. That sometimes a person has done nothing wrong and Hashem gives him challenges so that he can cross those hurdles and get more in the world to come. Yes, Rabbi Yeshua also tells us about the cruelty of some people and that God limited them by handicapping them. And sometimes that is what we focus on in the story. The story needs a lot of work, because we say that whether a person will be kind or cruel is not predetermined when they're born. That's up to us to decide.
Not predetermined when they're what?
When they're born. The Talmud says that when a couple are intimate, so then an angel called Laila, that's responsible for pregnancy, goes into the woman and takes the tiniest drop of the baby, and when the pregnancy begins, so he brings a tiny drop before the Creator and says, this drop, what's going to be with it? Is he going to be smart? Is he going to be stupid? Is he going to be rich? Is he going to be poor? Is he going to be strong? Is he going to be weak? And it covers all aspects of life except for, is he going to be kind? Is he going to be cruel? Is he going to be God-fearing? Is he not? It does not encompass the key points of humanity, which is free will, which is up to us. That's not determined beforehand. Everything else before we're born, it's determined. Are you going to be rich or not? You got to try. If you don't try, you might not live up to what you could have been. So here, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that God limited certain people because they would be cruel. And other people because they would get more wages because they overcame that handicap. So did God decide in advance who would be cruel and who wouldn't? Or is it that God gave each person the potential to be that kind person? And that person who overcame the hurdles? And that person who was an example to others in his kindness in spite of the hurdles that God placed before him? Needs work. Yeah. So I think they're all encompassed. Though the ideas of keeping Torah and mitzvos, be it Yirei Shamayim, be it a tzaddik. The lashon in the Medrash is tzaddik and rasha. It says in the Medrash that whether he'll be a tzaddik or a rasha is not stated right before he's born.
Why is cruel and merciful not to fall under the category of tzaddik and rasha? Why doesn't it fall under the many other categories that Hashem does decide at conception?
Because we say that they all fall under the category of Yirat Shemayim, which is the observance of Torah and Mitzvot. And that when the Gemara says, HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz MeYirat Shemayim, when the Gemara says, everything's in the hands of heaven, aside from whether you'll be a God-fearing person or not, that encompasses all of the Mitzvot, not only the question of being a God-fearing person.
Okay, but just like stupid and smart are not our character traits, that you can be a smart person,
by cruel, I meant wicked. I didn't just mean cruel. Maybe I used the wrong word. I meant wicked or kind. I meant in action, not in tendency. Okay? Yeah?
Sometimes the matzav someone's put in life, and the situation someone has, whether it's good or bad, has a direct connection to whether they're kind or cruel.
So excellent.
Hashem would say, this person's this X, X, and X. The equation adds up normally to cruel. The equation adds up normally. If something horrendous happens to someone as a child, and it doesn't look, it's very hard to bounce back from it, just as a human being.
I agree. If you'll check our classes on this a few years ago, we expanded on the point you just raised. The Talmud discusses that there are people who have certain handicaps that we don't accept their testimony in court. And the Meiri over there gives us a tremendous insight. He says, when a person is born and grows up with a handicap, so then there's a tendency to have a deep felt resentment towards society. The person who has had to contend his whole life with being different, with society having privileges that he does not have, well, it's only natural that that person will bear a grudge, even though they didn't do it to him. But he grows up with that inner feeling of, why do they have it better than I do? And so the Meiri says that Therefore, there is a greater tendency among a person, among people who are handicapped, to be cruel. And that's why the rabbis would not accept their testimony in court, because we are more suspect that maybe, perhaps, their testimony is tainted. So there's great support in Chazal for what you're saying, which only puts this this medrash puts a greater weight on the questions on this medrash. I didn't want to expand on this as much as we are, because I feel that in all our classes I strive to remain true to the text, and whatever I'm going to say now is my interpretation or my putting together different sources to answer the questions we have on the text. And I'm scared that people will confuse what I say with what Rav Nissim Gaon says. So that's why until now I've left it as a question. Perhaps we should mention two points to ponder. We say that God creates potentials in the world. There's potential for greatness, then there's dual potential. The person who was the greatest sinner in Jewish history, Yeravam ben Nevat, caused quite possibly the greatest Holocaust in Jewish history, caused the division of the Davidic dynasty, caused the multitudes of Israel to follow idol worship. Well, there was a point in time when he was greater than King David. There was a point in time when he was one of the greatest giants that ever lived. So there was potential to go both ways. And perhaps what we're supposed to see from the story of Rabbi Yeshua is not that there is a predetermination as to where these people are going to be. Rabbi Yeshua says, if they are kind, then they were handicapped so that they will get greater wages in the world to come. And those that rebel against him, so then they were limited. So is that to say that God decided in advance which one they would be and that was the reason? Or is that to say that it could go either way? They have a choice. There's a fine Talmud Chacham who lives a few minutes from here. He's a young man. And I met him once just as he was entering high school. And he said a very interesting line. He said it half-jokingly at the time. And I'll tell you the line and then you'll figure out the rest of the story yourself. He was going into high school and he said to me, he said, I am either going to be a very big tzaddik or a very big Rasha, one or the other. I'm either going to be extraordinarily pious or extraordinarily wicked, and I haven't decided which one yet. That's what he said as he was going into high school. He said, I'm still thinking about it. I'm happy so far, he seems to have chosen well. So that's point number one. Point number two is just really an adjunct to this. Chazal tell us about Avram Avinu that he had 10 tests. So Chazal say when you come to the pottery store, they want to sell you pottery, so the potter bangs on the pottery to show you its strength. The potter knows exactly which piece of pottery has which strength, and he knows how hard to bang each one so that it doesn't break, but he bangs it hard enough that it seems impressive. By the way, when you go by the Tachana Merkazit, I always wonder, they have these things they try to sell you, and then they have one out in the front. Do they have one that works really well, and all the other ones they sell you are not good? I'm not sure. Because they have like these things that chop salad, they have all kinds of contraptions, which somehow, when they're showing it to you, it works great. And when you buy it, it doesn't seem to work as well. So I don't know how to put that one together. But Chazal say that the potter knows exactly which pot can be banged how hard. In a different medrash, Chazal say, when a guy is purifying the wool, and he combs it and combs it again to get out the impurities. So he also knows the pieces that are better, he can comb more and get them more pure, get more dirt out of them. The pieces that are weaker, so he combs them less because he doesn't want to destroy them. Chazal say these two ideas are an allusion to the patriarchs. They're an allusion to the greats of Jewish history. Every person is gauged in heaven what he could stand up to. And on earth, they challenge each person depending on their strengths. And so perhaps that also gives us an opening to understand Rav Nissim Gaon, that these people were given these challenges precisely because they have tremendous potential to be great people. We once had a student here who had a certain handicap, and we learned this. And I told stories about people who were handicapped and were extraordinarily pious and kind and smiley. And a few days later, we had a one-on-one. And he said to me that really spoke to him. And he decided in his life, he's changing course, and he's going to try to be like that. Like those people who smiled in spite of the hardness, the challenges they had in life. It's a choice. It's not an easy choice, you know. It's easy for us to say. But perhaps that's what the Medrash is telling us. I'm not sure, because the Medrash doesn't say everything I said. You know, so that's why I didn't want to say it. That's why I began by saying there's a question that needs to be dealt with. But to just read and leave questions hanging, maybe you don't need me for that. So some angles of thought we've presented, but I question whether that was what Rav Nissim Gaon meant to say. I myself am uncertain as to whether I'm doing justice to the work now, with all the additions. I don't know.
Does Rav Nissim also groups one of them? Isn't also like that after you read the story, could have also had the story finish in the total polar opposite way and go back to the king and say, look how pious someone, a limited person, could be, and teach the lesson that way. But maybe the lesson stays more.
I don't know. I also, one of the reasons I question whether my interpretation holds water is because he stresses, as you correctly are pointing out, with the story and with everything he writes, he's stressing more the negative than the positive. So you can answer that in different ways also. But again, we're already going into interpretations. I don't know. Okay, so Rav Nissim Gaon is going to spend the next few pages discussing the hardships of seeing life and different stories where it seems that what God is doing is unfair and interpretations to those stories. A look behind the scenes, what was going on there. So the next story is about the great sage Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who encountered something that shocked him, and he was stunned to the point of fainting until the truth, the secret was revealed to him, and the honesty and the fairness, his doubts were clarified to him. And the story goes as follows. He fasted for a period of time, and he prayed to his Creator, blessed be his name, that Elio be revealed to him. And Elijah appears to him, and asks him, do you have anything you want from me? I will grant you what you want. And Rabbi Yoshua says, I want to join you and see your actions in the world so that I could benefit from you and learn great wisdom from you. So Elio said, you won't be able to handle what you see me do. And when I have to tell you proofs and explain and show it to you, it's going to be toilsome for you. And Rabbi Yoshua says, my master, I won't ask you, I won't be a burden to you, I won't test you, I just want to see what you're doing. I want to see, no more. And Elio said, okay, one condition. If you ask me to understand the wondrous things you see me do, or if you ask me any question, then you'll stop accompanying me. And that was the agreement. They started traveling. They came to the home of a pauper, a guy who was so impoverished he had almost nothing. He had one cow out in his yard, and he and his wife are sitting at the gate, and they see them coming, and they go out to greet them, and they welcome them into their home. And they give them the best seat at the table, and whatever little food and drink they had, they offer to them. And in the morning, they get up to leave, and the Elio gets up, and he starts praying that the man's cow should die. And the cow drops dead, and they leave. Rabbi Yeshua looks at what Elio did. He doesn't understand. He's stunned to the point of fainting. And he says, this poor man who honored us, he couldn't do anything better to him than to kill his cow and nothing else. He's got nothing but the cow. That's what you do to the guy? And Rabbi Yeshua turns to Elio and he says, my master, why'd you kill the man's cow? He honored us so much. Elio said, you remember our condition? You said we agreed you'd be quiet. If you want to leave, I'll tell you. So Rabbi Yeshua was quiet. They continue traveling all day. At nighttime, they come to the house of a wealthy man. And the guy, even though he sees two rabbis entering town, he doesn't talk to them. He wants to have nothing to do with them. And they ask his servants. They enter the house. They wait for him to address them. They're not offered anything to eat. They're not offered anything to drink. And they spend the whole night waiting in the waiting room. They get nothing. And that this wealthy person had a wall in his home that had fallen, and he needed to bring in workers to build that wall. So the next morning, Elio gets up and starts davening and builds up the whole wall. And again, Rabbi Yoshua is wondering even more. So this is how you treat a wealthy guy who gives us nothing? But this time he's quiet. They travel, and that night they come to a huge shul. They have benches of gold and silver, and everyone sitting on his bench. Each person, depending on their position, had a chair that reflected how much honor they deserved. And they enter shul. People look up. They see them. And one man says, who's going to feed the poor men who came here tonight? And one of them says, they don't need anything more than the bread and water and salt that they bring here. That's enough. So even though they see two old rabbis, long white beards, entering the shul, they don't treat him as anything. And they go to sleep in that shul till the morning. When they wake up in the morning, Elio turns to the shul. And he wishes all the people, he says, may Hashem make all of you leaders. And they travel. Now Rabbi Yeshua doesn't understand. You bless people like that? What did you bless them all to be leaders for? Nightfall is settling, and they come to a new city. And this time the people of the city go out and greet them in warmth and happiness, and they take him in, and they give him the best house, and they give him to eat and drink, and they have a whole meal with them. And in the morning, they get up to leave, and Elio wishes them, you guys should have only one leader. And when Rabbi Yeshua heard this, he couldn't contain himself anymore. He says, Elio, please, tell me the secrets. What's going on here? So Elio says, okay, I understand that our ways will now part. And we'll pick up here in a few minutes.